Kreshes Masechta Bamitsiya Dat Tzadik Zayin. We will begin the Ezra Shemiz Baruch Dat Tzadik Vav on the base, 13 lines from the bottom. A Gemara's sugya that we focus on today is that there's another exemption when a shoyl, even though we've been learning in our shiurim, that a shoyl has a very high level of responsibility. There is one situation where a shoyl will not be held responsible. And that is another situation we had, Baal of Imai. We will still discuss Baal of Imai Mitzvah Shem. But the other situation is Meisa Machas Melacha. And the Gemara now will focus on the Halacha Meisa Machas Melacha. If somebody borrowed an animal and the animal got weakened because Machas Melacha, because of the work that it did, Mai, what will be the halacha? And as I saw the Rishonim point out, that we've learned many times in our shiurim that if somebody steals something and it gets sort of, if it appreciates a value, the halacha is the gazlan could say to the nigzel, the gazlan could say to the person from whom he stole it, Haresha cholof anecha, why is that any different over here? So the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz explains, when somebody steals something and it goes down in value, and you could say a ratio chalaf necha, it went down in value because it went down of in value. Here, by its, because it just went down in value for whatever external reason. And our Gemara explains the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, it went down in value because I worked with it, and when I worked with it, it went down in value. So that's why it's not the same as the case of a racial fanacha by a gazlan. Says the Gemara, Amalei Hum Rabbanon, Rav Chelkiah Burei Rav Avi Shimei, Bechlal, the fact that you're asking this question, isn't that an indication that Kimeisa Machs Melacha, that the animal went down in value because, if the animal went down in value, Machs Melacha, that the halacha should be that your So says the Gemara, the fact that you're asking this question is an indication that it's your opinion, the chimeisa machs melacha, that if something depreciates because you worked with it and you're a shoyl, you chayiv. The neima, as the Gemara, neima lav lukma b'chilta shalta, why can't the person who borrowed it say, I didn't borrow it, that it should just sit at home. I borrowed it, obviously, to use it. And therefore, since I borrowed it, that I should be able to use it, that's why it's considered Meisa Machs Melacha, and I should be potter. So as I said, our Gemara now introduces the concept of Meisa Machs Melacha. And the Rishonim and Achronim offer a different explanation why Meisa Machs Melacha is potter. The Ramban explains that, yes, as we've been learning, a shoyl, a person who borrows something, takes on a very high level of responsibility. But explains the Ramban, what that really means is that the responsibility that the shoyl takes is for things that are unexpected. But if I borrow something, it's understood that if I borrow something, it's being used to work with. And therefore, the level of responsibility and such circumstances, the shoyl will not be held responsible because I borrowed it to work with it. So according to this explanation, that machs melacha means because that's the expectation that if I borrow something, I borrow to use it. So if it will be in a case that it was meisa machs melacha, but it was meisa machs melacha because of external considerations, it wasn't meisa machs melacha because of anything that just because I worked with the animal, then we wouldn't be able to say meisa machs melacha. The Rashba, however, explains that the focus of meisa machs melacha, according to Rashba, is that the person who lends something is aware that he's lending it, that the person to whom he's lending it is going to use it. Since he's aware that the person to whom he's lending it is going to use it, and in the course of using it, something may happen, that's why the person who lent it knows it and did not lend it with the expectation that he should be held, that the borrower should be held responsible. The Machna Frayim, sort of along the same lines of the Rashba, explains that if I lend somebody something, and obviously, as we've been saying, the purpose of my lending it to him is for him to use it, and then something happens that it's not usable, so it's a mekach tos, because the whole purpose of my lending it to him, and the whole purpose of my lending it to him was that they should be able to use it. And if it's not usable, and the fact that it was meisa machmas melacha is the biggest indication that it's not usable, so it's a mekach tos, and that's why he won't be held responsible. So the obvious nafka mina between these different pshatim is going to be in a case where it was meisa machmas melacha, but not in the course of its work. According to the Ramban, we're only going to be able to apply the concept of meisa machmas melacha where it deteriorated because of the melacha, because it deteriorated because the melacha it was doing. But if it didn't deteriorate because of the melacha it was doing, the example we gave earlier, an outside external reason is why it was meisa machmas melacha, then the Ramban would say we don't have the heter of meisa machmas melacha. According to the other pshatim, we would have the explanation, we would still have the explanation of meisa machmas melacha. We would have the example of meisa machmas melacha. The question that comes up, again, based on these different explanations that we had now of meisa machmas melacha, there's a famous story that Reb Zalman Volozhin borrowed the Sefer Tana Dabe Eliyahu. And as we've discussed in previous shurim, Reb Zalman Volozhin, the brother of Chaim Volozhiner, was well known for his incredible hasmada. So he learned that sefer, if he got a sefer, he studied in that sefer 100 times. And now, the question that came, and obviously if you're going to study in a sefer 100 times, it's not going to be look the same as when you borrowed it. And the question is, do we say here, Mesa Machas Balacha? And I saw that the Michsa Lazar discusses the situation as well. And his approach is that it's understandable that when I borrow a sefer, I'm going to do whatever I need to understand and learn from that sefer. And since I'm going to do whatever it's necessary to be able to learn from that sefer, included in doing so may very well be that I'm going to study the sefer 100 times. And it's going to, and that if that's going to be the case, it will be considered meisa machmas melacha. But according to the various approaches that we've been saying in our shiur now, it may not be so clear, because if it's from the shoyl's perspective, so the shoyl uses it as he sees fit using it. But if it's from the perspective of the mashal says, yes, I lent it to you with the understanding and the expectation that you're going to use it. But it's not reasonable for you to assume that I'm going to assume that you're going to use it in such a fashion. Clearly, the Shari Tshuva quotes the Brikei Yosef that if somebody borrowed a shofar, and the course of blowing the shofar in the normal fashion, the shofar cracked, that would be considered meisa machmas melacha. The Pesukim discuss what would be the halacha if I borrowed an umbrella from somebody and it was raining and it was very windy and that caused the umbrella to break. What would be the halacha? So the Pesukim say, if it was a ruach metzuya, if it was a weather which is normal with rain, so clearly one can make the point that that's called meisa machmas melacha. I borrowed something with the purpose of being able to use it. It wasn't expected that I just borrowed the umbrella not to be able to use it. But if I borrowed it with, and I carried it, there was a tornado, there was a hurricane, so that is not something that one should be expected. And since that's not something that should be expected that would happen, then we perhaps would not say that we could apply in such a situation the concept of Meisa Machs Melacha. The Sefer Mishpatei Torah also has quite an extensive discussion. How do we look at, what do we say, when do we say Machs Melacha, not Machs Melacha? There was a person who borrowed a gown that she was going to wear at a wedding, and she was sitting at the wedding, and the gown got dirty. And the question is, the person who lent her the gown says, I expected you to return the gown in good shape, not dirty. What would be the halacha? So I saw that the Sefer Mishpatei Torah explains that if it got dirty in normal wear and tear, if you wear something, there's normal wear and tear. In normal wear and tear, the person who borrowed it would not be chayiv. But something not in normal wear and tear happened. I saw he gives a number of examples. One example he gives is if the person who borrowed the gown sat down and a child sat next to her, or a waiter spilled something on her, that is not considered normal wear and tear. And therefore, since it's not normal wear and tear, the halacha is that then he would be chayiv. It's also very important to distinguish when we speak about Meisa Machs Melacha, what's considered Meisa Machs Melacha and what's considered a mazik. That means if I borrowed a car, and in the course of my borrowing the car, there's wear and tear and depreciation on the car, so that's called Meisa Machs Melacha. But if I borrowed the car and I let somebody drive it who doesn't have permission to drive it, or if in the course of my borrowing the car, I parked it in a place where it's known not to be safe to park cars in such a place, that can't be considered, cannot be considered Meisa Machs Melacha. Or I saw another question. Somebody borrowed a drill, and there are different types of drills. There's a drill that people use at the home, and there are drills that are industrial drills. This person borrowed a simple drill that people use for different building activities they need in their home. And he used it in an industrial sense. He was building a house or whatever. Will that be considered Meisa Machs Melacha? The Paiskim say that will not be considered Meisa Machs Melacha. Meisa Machs Melacha is when something happened in the normal course of my doing something. This is not considered normal course. When somebody borrows a drill that's used in his home, it's not expected that it's going to be used to build a building. And therefore, you can't just say Meisa Machs Melacha. Ela Merava. Therefore, Rava says the following. Certainly, if I borrow an animal depreciates in value because of that the work that it did in the normal course, the potter, that the shoyl will be potter. Alfila Meisa Behema Machs Melacha, even if the animal died, not only did it depreciate, but it died, Nami Potter. Damalei, because as we've been learning, Damalei, the shoyl could say to the mashal, the person who borrowed it, could say to the person who lent it to him, Lav Lokma Bekilta Shalta. It wasn't borrowed to sit at home. And therefore, the halacha will be that he will be potter because of Meisa Machs Melacha. So says the Gemara, who gavar the shogel nagri mecheveri. Somebody borrowed an axe from someone else, vitber, and it broke. Also kamei de Rava, the question was brought to Rava, is he obligated to pay? Amalei, and Rava said to him, zil isis saadi, bring edim, the lav shenei sabai, that you did not do anything unusual, vi iftar, vi lakit. If he leka, what's going to be the halacha if he can't provide such edim? Mai, What's the halacha? And the Gemara now begins a discussion, which we'll get into in a moment. How do we have to pay back? But it's clear that you have to pay back. So the Rishonim make an interesting observation. Normally, when in the Gemara we have such a situation where you have to prove that you didn't do anything unusual, the Gemara says you should make a shvua. Here, the Gemara says you have to make Edom. You have to bring Edom. Why does the Gemara over here say you have to bring Edom? So I saw three different approaches in the Rishonim how to approach this. One approach in the Rishonim is that the Gemara says bring Edom, but what the Gemara really means to say is that a shvua would also be a good way to prove your innocence that it was Meis Samachs Melacha. The Gemara chose one of the two approaches. That's the Ritva's approach, the Rosh's approach. The Ritva has a different approach. The Ritva's approach is that what happened over here, where this person used this axe, and that is a discussion, he's saying that it was Meis Samachs Melacha, and he has to be able to prove that it was Meis Samachs Melacha. So the Ritva explains that we're speaking here about a situation where there were many Edom, there were many people there as this was taking place. So says the Ritva, since there were many people there as this was taking place, so when there are Edom easily available, the Ritva's approach is you have to bring Edom and you cannot rely on a shua. That's that approach. But then there's a third approach in the Rishonim, that Meis Samachs Melacha is not the same type of claim as every other type of claim. And every other type of claim, the halacha indeed is that just making a shvua would be enough. Here, making a shvua is not enough. To be able to prove, or to be able to claim Meis Samachs Melacha, you have to have a very high level of proof, and therefore, the only way that could be accomplished is by bringing Edom. So now, the Gemara says, if you can't prove that it was Meis Samachs Melacha, how must you pay back? In other words, what happened here is that you have this, in our Gemara, you have this broken axe. So now that you have the broken axe, the Gemara's question is, how will this person who has the broken axe be able to, how does he have to pay back for the damages? Tashma, so says the Gemara, who gavra, the Shah Nagar Mechavre, there was a person who borrowed an axe from someone else, Visper, and the brack and the axe broke. Usla Kamei the Rav, and it came to Rav with a question, what do you have to pay back? So the way Rashi learns the Gemara, and that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara, is it acceptable that he should just give back the broken axe and pay the difference between a broken axe and a good axe? That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara, and that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara. Tosfos says that is not the discussion of the Gemara, because Tosfos says, certainly, we learned in Masechta Baba Kamma that if somebody kills another person's animal, his animal kills another person's animal, you could give the person who was damaged the nevela, and that will be good enough. So that isn't the discussion here, says Tosfos. The discussion is, if the axe continue to deteriorate, who carries the burden of that? But we're going to learn, like Rashi says, the Gemara Tashmat, who gavra the shal nagar mechavrei, somebody borrowed an axe from somebody else, the isper, and the axe broke, osla kamei the Rav, and the question to Rav came, what do you have to do? Do you have to pay back a good axe, or can you give him the broken axe and just pay the difference? Amalei, so Rav said, Zil Shamblem Naga Ma'alya. You have to pay him back a regular axe. Don't give him a broken axe. Amalei, Rav Kahana Vrasi L'Rav. So Rav Kahana Vrasi said to Rav, Dina Hachi, is that indeed the halacha? Didn't we learn, as we just said, in Masechta Baba Kamma, at the beginning of Masechta, Daf Yud, that the nevela is given to the nizik? So here too, we should give back the broken axe to the owner of the axe. It says the Gemara, because of this question, Shasuk Rav. Rav remained silent. It says the Gemara, V'hilchsa, and indeed the halacha is, says the Gemara, Krav Kahana Rav Asi, the Mahadle Tavrei, you give him back the broken axe, or memaliyalei the main mana, and you make up the difference in value between a broken axe and a whole axe. Says the Gemara further, who gave the shol davel mechavrei? Somebody borrowed a pail that he was going to use to water his field. Who gave the shol davel mechavrei? Visper, and it broke. Also came to Rapapa. The question came to Rapapa. Amalei, so Rapapa said, I see sadi delish nisabei, bring Edom that you worked with this pail in a normal fashion. And if that is the case, ifter, you'll be potter, because we'll be able to say, meis machs melacha. Says the Gemara, who gave the shol shunri mechavrei, that there was somebody who borrowed a cat from someone else, because the cats were used to eat the mice and chase away the mice. And what happened was, chabalei achbrei, the mice ganged up on this cat, v'katlua, and they killed the cat. Yosef Ashi come by, and Rav Ashi was asked, kai gavnamai, when we look at such a situation, is this considered a situation of Mesa Machmas Malacha or Loi? So of course, the Rishonim ask, why should this not be considered Mesa Machmas Malacha? I borrowed the cat to kill the mice, and the cat wasn't able to overcome the mice. But why is that not Mesa Machmas Malacha? So Tosfos explains that the way to understand the Gemara is that the person took the cat to a place where he knew there were many mice. And since he knew there were many mice in that place, he should have known that the mice are going to counterattack the cat. And therefore, when you know that what you're doing is going to be dangerous, you can't use the concept of Mesa Machmas Malacha. Amalei Ramat Chol Rashi, Hocham Avima, Meagrunya, Mishmei Durava, Gavra de Noshe Ketlua. The way to look at this case, if somebody was killed by women, and what it means to say is that he was overcome by people who are weaker than him. Leidina v'leidina. There's no question that you can't say Mesa Machmas Malacha. That a person should have been able to overcome people who are weaker than him. And similarly, the cat should have been able to overcome the mice. And therefore, what it means to say is that he should have no reason to assume that the mice will overcome the cat. What did we just say that Tosfos says is pshat in the Gemara's question? That he shouldn't have taken him. The shoyl should have never taken the cat to a place where there are so many mice. Says the Gemara, there is no reason for a shoyl to think that the cat will be able to overtake, the mice will be able to overtake the cat. Since there's no reason for the shoyl to believe so, then the shoyl did not do anything wrong in bringing the cat. Ikedamri, but there's a different explanation of the story. Ochel achbri tuva, the cat ate many mice, and because it ate so many mice, the chavel, it got sick, umes, and died. And now the Gemara's question is, Yosef Rav Ashi Yekama Aimba, Rav Ashi was trying to understand what is the halacha, kai gavna mai, is this considered Mesa Machmas Malacha or not? Amalei Ramat Chal Rav Ashi, Hocha Am Avrimi Mehugrunya, Gavra De Noshe Ketlua, a person who had many times relations with women, and then he died, Leidina V'Leidina, just like there's no question that he should have thought that he's going to die, because what he thought was normal, and therefore, since what he thought was normal, nobody could say that he did anything wrong. Here too, nobody has to assume that the cat will overeat and he'll die, and therefore, it's not considered negligent. It's considered Mesa Machmas Malacha. The Rishonim say that the Gemara here is trying to teach us another halacha, that a person has to always be thinking about the repercussions of what he's doing. And this person, by having too many bias, put himself into a difficult place, and he ultimately, as the Gemara said, dies. Similarly, a person has to always think about what's going to happen because of what I'm doing. The Torah quotes the Ramah, who said that somebody who borrowed an animal to go to a certain place, and as they were traveling, the animal was attacked. Is that going to be considered Mesa Machs Melacha? And the Ramah says that that's considered Mesa Machs Melacha. Because anything which, as we said earlier, anything that is normal to be done, even if the animal that I borrowed or whatever I borrowed did not actually die doing the Melacha that I was borrowed for, the cat still, since this is part of what normally is done when you borrow something like this, it's enough to make it be considered Mesa Machs Melacha. Says the Gemara. Amar Rava, Haiman de Boil and Mishlami de Mechavri. Somebody who wants to borrow something from someone else, the lifter, but as we've been learning, a shoyl has a very high level of responsibility. So he wants to be able not to have that high level of responsibility. And as we've been discussing in our shiurim, the way you're able to avoid that is by creating a situation, a ball of imoy. So namely, the person who borrowed this, whatever he borrowed, should say to the person from whom he borrowed, Ashkimayim, give me some water to drink, serve me some water, and that will create a situation of Shayla Babala, it will consider Baal of Imai. So the Rishonim already asked, what is the Chiddush of this Gemara? So I saw a number of explanations. One explanation is that the Gemara is teaching us that to be considered Baal of Imai, any work that the owner does is enough to make it be considered Baal of Imai. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that the Gemara is teaching us that if I borrowed something from a very important person, who under normal circumstances, I will never ask to work for me. And here I have to try to get him to do something for me, because if I won't be able to get him to do something for me, I won't be able to accomplish Baal of Imai. So the halacha here is that even by Adam Choshev, pouring a cup of water is a way to accomplish Baal of Imai. And the third pshat that I saw from the Meiri, what the Gemara is coming to teach us, is that it's not considered that I did something baramos. It's not considered as if I did something dishonest. As long as he does something for me at the time that I'm borrowing it, it's enough to make it be considered Baal of Imai. So again, says the Gemara, Haiman de Boil and Mishal Midi Mechavri, if I want to borrow for somebody else, the lifter, and be able to accomplish Baal of Imai, namely, the borrower should say to the lender, Ashkin Imayim, give me some water to drink as this is taking place, so we will accomplish that Shela Babalim, and he'll have the dispensation of Baal of Imai. However, says the Gemara, in Pikechu, if the person who's lending is smart, and he wants to not let that happen, namely, Shol Bereisha, first let's conclude the transaction of you borrowing whatever you're borrowing. And only afterwards, V'hadash Gayach, because as we learned previously, in order to accomplish Baal of Imai, the Baal of Imai has to be at the moment of the loan taking place. And if it's not exactly at that moment, then it's not Baal of Imai. Amarava, Mikri Dardiki, if somebody who is the town would hire somebody to teach the Talmidim in the yeshiva, or Shasla, or the town has a gardener, Tapcha, the town has a shoychit, Umna, the town has a doctor, Safamaser, somebody, I saw two different pshatim, one pshat is the town barber, another pshat is the town soifer, Kulan, all of them be'idin of Adatayu, as they are working, so Kishayla Babalam Damu, and if they're working, at that time will be considered Baal of Imai. And we have here a very, very fundamental machloikus Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Some Rishonim explain that this Gemara is saying that these people who have different jobs in the city, they're hired by the townspeople, in order to be able to say Baal of Imai, they have this job on behalf of the city, and they have to be working for the person from whom I borrowed something at that moment. If they're not working at that moment, we won't be able to say, for the person who's actually borrowing what's in question, we wouldn't be able to say Bol of Imai. That's the one approach in the Rishonim. The other approach in the Rishonim is that these people, because they get paid by the town, then every moment of the day that they're hired to work, they're working for every member of the town. So even though I'm the shoyl, and at this moment they're not working for me necessarily, that doesn't mean it's not Baal of Imai. Because since I'm a member of this town, and at this time they're supposed to work for the people in the town, so anybody, as long as they're working for the townspeople, it's Baal of Imai. However, what is also clear in the Rishonim is that when would we say Baal of Imai with the two pshatim that we just said? That's only during work hours. They're obligated to work during work hours. So anything that happens during those work hours, whatever pshat we just accepted, will say Baal of Imai. But if it's not during that time, we wouldn't say Baal of Imai. Amle Rabbanan L'Rovel. Shalom Mar. You are obligated to teach us Torah. And therefore, if we will borrow something from you, it will be considered Baal of Imai. Ikbid, so Rava was upset. Amlu lefkui manu kabasi, you're trying to create here a situation of Baal of Imai. Ad Rabba, I'm not working for you. Ata shalintan li, you're working for me. And he explains why. Dila no matzish temuti le masechta masechta. I, the Rebbe, he said, can choose which masechta to learn. Atan, but you, Laimat Susan Mishtuti, you don't have the right to choose which masechta. The Rebbe has the right to choose which masechta, not the Talmidim. Says here the Gemara, Velohi, it's actually not correct. Yishalai, Rava is obligated to them, B'yayim Adakala. Before Yontif, that the halacha is, they used to have to learn the halachas of Yontif. And he could not learn a different masechta. So that time, he's obligated to them. And the rest of the time, where the Rebbe could choose which masechta to learn, and the rest of the time, in Ushile, since the Rebbe can make that decision, that's why the halacha is that he is not considered working for them. The Shalos Tshuvos Eretzi from the Kozel Gavarov in Chelek Aleph Siman Tzadik Beis has a correspondence with the Imri Emes. The Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zara, Yud Tes Amud Aleph, says that Leishana Leirabba Al Masechta Shemavakish. That the Halach is that from there we see that the Rebbe, that the Talmidim, the person only learns B'makim Shalibay Chafetz, that the Talmidim only learn what they want to learn, and the Rebbe can't say, well, I want to learn something else. How do we reconcile that with our Gemara? So he says, there's a much more fundamental question. The Gemara says that a person should only learn B'makim Shalibay Chafetz. But in a classroom, there's a Rebbe who wants to learn what he wants to learn. That's his Makom Shalibay Chafetz. And there's a Talmidim that want to learn what they want to learn. And that's they have their Libay Chafetz. So what's the halacha when the Libay Chafetz doesn't match up? So he says that, of course, if the Rebbe doesn't mind teaching the Talmidim whatever they want to learn, so we should learn what the Talmidim want to learn. But when we have a conflict, where the Rebbe wants to learn one thing and the Talmidim want to learn another thing, then we follow what the Rebbe wants. Why? So I saw, and Eretz Tzvi says it, and Aaron Leib Steinman says it, a person has a chiyuv, we've discussed this previously, that not to forget his learning. And one of the ways that you will remember what you learn is by learning what you want to learn. So the Rebbe is mekayim the mitzvah of teaching Torah, and to remember the Torah. And therefore, we choose the makom shalibay chafetz. And therefore, the Gemara is saying that the rest of the year, the halacha is that the Rebbe, since he could choose what to learn, then the halacha is that it's not considered Baal of Imai. Which this opens up a very interesting discussion. What is the halacha, and how does the halacha view the relationship of Rebbe to Talmidim, a Rav to his community? There was an interesting din Torah in the city of Galanta, it's a city in Czechoslovakia in Hungary, where the Rav of the city, his name was Rav Shimon Friedman, was Nifter. And his son-in-law's name was Rav Moshe Feldman. And Rav Moshe Feldman wanted to be the successor of his father-in-law in the Rabbonus of the town. There were people who were in favor of this, and there were people that opposed it. And the people who opposed it actually brought that there was a rule that was in the constitution of the community that a person is not allowed to be in the position of a meshubid. Meshubid means somebody who is obligated. That's even stronger than just a regular obligation. Someone cannot be in the position of obligation and have a relative in the town. And what happened was that this Rav Feldman had a brother-in-law who was a mayor of the community. So the question that came up was, is a Rebbe, is a Rav, considered a meshubid to the town? And the question went back and forth. There was a big din Torah, and the Pasuk says, one of the rayas, this question was brought up to the Rav of Hungary, of Budapest, Rav Shragit Tzvi Tenenbaum, in a Sefer Not the Sirik, and he says that the Pasuk says, Ve'ilhi lepas lemas oivid, says that in the Birkas Yaakov regarding Yisachar, and Rashi says, Lifsoi kairah shel Torah. So we see that the Rav is considered an oivid, he's considered meshubit to the people of his town. And the Rashi also says, and that's on the Pasuk V'tzaveh Sheftechem, L'sha'over ha'yisim b'rushus atzmachem. Previously, before you were appointed to be Shoftim, before you were appointed to be the Rabbanim of the community, you were your own man. L'sha'over your own men. L'sha'over ha'yisim b'rushus atzmachem. Atem, achshav, however, atem m'shubadim l'tzibur. So it was clearly a proof that the job of a Rav is he's meshubed. He's meshubed to the people of the town. And therefore, if he's meshubed to the people of the town, given this rule that they had, that a meshubed can't have any relatives in the town, then the halacha is that he can't be given this question. The Makar Chaim asks the question, why is a Rebbe not considered to be serving his students, even though he has the choice, as Al Gemara says, to decide what they learn? He still is serving them by teaching them. He uses an example. If somebody hires a worker to work for him and to do a number of different jobs, and the worker has the right to decide which of the various tasks that he has to do, he's going to do. And he chooses to do this one first and that one second. Will that mean that he's not working for the person whom he's working for because he has the right to make that choice? So, Esel Zalman, in his Sefer, Evan Ozel explains that we have to look at the relationship of a Rebbe to his Talmidim somewhat different. As the Gemara in Masechet Makkos says, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says, "Metalmidai yoyse mikulam." A Rebbe grows from his Talmidim. Since a Rebbe grows from his Talmidim, the relationship, even though he has the right to choose the Masechet, maybe "Metalmidai yoyse mikulam." So, if that's the case, we just made the question even harder. That the Rebbe even more hard to understand because the Rebbe has that obligation to his Talmidim. So Devin Ozer makes one more very, very important point. And the point that Devin Ozer makes is that if we look at teaching Torah as a job, as a obligation, then we could say that the Rebbe has a very, the Rebbe is meshubet to the Talmidim. But teaching Torah is not something which is a difficult thing to do. It's enjoyable to do. And since it's enjoyable to do, the halacha is that it's not considered a regular job, and that's what's meant in the Gemara. The Rebbe has a right to choose what the Gemara means to say, what the Rebbe has a right to choose makes, because the Rebbe is enjoying what he's doing. Our Gemara also introduced the concept of that in the Yontif time, he has no right to choose. They have to learn Hilchos Yontif. So the Paiskim explain that everybody agrees that you have to learn Hilchos Chag B'Chag. As we're learning the Yontif Halachas, they have to learn on every Yontif as we're experiencing that Yontif, we have to learn the Halachas of that Yontif. Pesach and Sukkot are different. Because Pesach and Sukkot, besides that there's a halacha that you're obligated to learn on those days, the halacha of a halachas of Yontif, there's another halacha. And that is that a person is obligated to learn Hilchos Chag for 30 days before Yontif. Because since there are so many halachas involved in those Yom Tovim, relying on just learning the halachas on Yontif will be inadequate. Moreover, there are many halachas that apply to those Yom Tovim that by the time Yontif comes, it's too late to learn those halachas. When we speak about Pesach, and we have to learn about the halachas of baking matzahs and etc. So before Pesach, the matzahs have to be baked. You can't wait for Yontif. Before Sukkot, the sukkah has to be built. And therefore, in those Yom Tovim, not only is there a halacha that you have to learn the Hilchos Yontif on Yontif, but actually you have to learn the halachas of Yontif. You have to learn the halachas of Yontif before Yontif comes to be prepared for the Yontif. And that is the source for the minig that we have a Shabbos Agol drasha and we have a Shabbos Shuvah drasha, because those are the Shabbosim before the Yom Tovim, before Pesach, and before Yom Kippur and Sukkot, to learn the halachas for the Yontif that's coming up. Says the Gemara, Mereme Bar Chanina, Oige Katan Nosei, he rented a mule to people in the city of Bechazoi. Nofel Gadu Tunu Badayu, and Mereme went to help them load up the mule. Pashuba, and the people who rented the donkey were negligent in the way they treated the animal, or miss, and the animal died. Also came to Rava, so they came to Rava with a question, are they obligated to pay Merema, the owner of this donkey, for Chavinim? And Rava made them pay. Amalei Rabbanan LaRava, so says the Gemara, the Rabbanan asked Rava, isn't this considered Pshia B'Balim? And as we learned in our previous Shiurim, that the halacha of Baal of Imai even applies by a pshia, ichsif. So Rava was embarrassed that he presumably forgot halacha. L'soif igloi milsa, but then it turned out l'mimsa tuna hu denofet. Merema just went to look at what's happening, but he didn't actually participate in what happened. And since he didn't participate, it's not considered Baal of Imai. But says the Gemara, when we learned the sugya of Baal of Imai b'pshia, actually learned that this was the subject of a question. So says the Gemara, Hanich l'mandam b'pshia ba'alim potter, that the halacha is that even pshia ba'al of Imai is potter. That's all we could understand, mishum hachi ichsef, why Rava was embarrassed that he gave a wrong psak. Elman da mechayiv, that we don't say Baal of Imai by Pshia, so ask the Gemara, Amai Ichsev, why was he embarrassed? Says the Gemara, here the story was, Loi Misha Poshabai. It wasn't that they were negligent. What happened was, Ela Ignu Ugav, the animal was stolen, Umesa Kedarka Begav Nahavi, and the animal died while it was in the possession of the Ganif. Vosla Kameh the Rava, and the question was if they have to pay for Chevinu, because they said that a person who rents is treated, they held a person that rents is treated a soicher is treated like a shema soicher, and a shema soicher is chayiv b'gnei veda. The machlokes that we've been discussing many times, machlokes from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, is a soicher like a shema soicher, is a soicher like a shema chinam. They felt that a soicher, they found the opinion that a soicher is like a shema soicher, and a shema soicher is chayiv b'gnei veda. To which they asked Rava, Amalei Rabban LaRava, but this was Gneva Bebalami. And there we don't say, by Baal of Imoy, the Shema Socher is not Chayiv for Gneva Aveda. To which, Ichsef, that caused Rava to be embarrassed. But then the Gemara says, the Soifig Loi Milsa, the Mimsa to Unahudanofik, he didn't actually work along with them. And since he didn't actually work along with them, that's why it's not considered Baal of Imai. Says the Gemara, Hashal Saporai, Hashal Esapora, if somebody borrows a cow, Shala Chatzayim, V'chatzur Chatzayim, he borrowed it for half a day, is a Shoyl, and for half a day, he's a Soicher. Or Shala Hayoim, he borrowed it for one day, and for one day, he's a Shoyl, for one day, he's a Soicher. Or Socher Achas, V'shal Achas, he borrowed one cow and he rented one cow, and the cow or mesa, and one of the cows died. And now we have a discussion. Hamashal Omer, the Mashal says, Shula Mesa, that this cow died when it was in the status of being Shula, which we know, as we've been saying, a shoyl is chai for oinsim. And the Mashal says, B'yoyim shoyl se shul, so that's what the Mashal says, B'yoyim shoyl se shula mesa. All the same point that it took place when it was a shula, and by shoyl is chay feinsim. The law and the shoyl is honest, and he says any day I just don't know. So then the law is that chay he'll have to pay, and the reason here is because we apply, as we're going to learn the Gemara, the concept of bari v'shema bari adif. And if the Mashal says, I know that it happened when it was a Shaila, and you don't know, we have to follow what I say, and you'll be Chayif. But if the Soicha says Schura Mesa, it died while the Oinus happened while it was Schura, or B'yom Shaisa Schura Mesa, B'shar Shaisa Schura Mesa, V'halo, so here's just the opposite. The person who had the animal says, I know what happened when it was being rented, and the person who rented it or lent it says any idea, Potter. Again, we follow the concept of Bari Vishem Bari Adav. What's going to be a locha if there's a dispute? Zeimer Shula. One says the owner says it happened when it was a status of Sheila. The Zeimer and the borrower, the renter says it happened when it was Skura. Yeshava Asoicha Sheshvur Mesa. He has to make a Shvur. And if he has to make a Shvur, he'll be Potter. And the Gemara will explain why that is the halacha. If we have a situation, they both say we just don't know when what happened, the halacha is yechlaiku. Taisus has a discussion, why does the Mishnah have to have three different cases to really make the same point? And Taisus says every case represents a bigger chiddush than the previous case, and therefore it should be understood as a loizu afsu on the style of learning the Mishnah.